The series this month here has been Jesus the Storyteller. Jesus the Storyteller. And tonight's subtitle is The Builders, The Builders. And the text comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Again, the subtitle tonight is The Builders. Okay, this is what Jesus says. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck and the house could not be shaken because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So we're talking here about the wise and the foolish builders. I think the key verse is verse 46 of Luke chapter 6. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Jesus says here. Now, what does the word Lord mean? When Jesus uses this word Lord, what is he trying to say? What does the word Lord mean? It means master, it means ruler, it means the one in full charge of every part of your life. You see, if you claim to have placed faith in Jesus Christ, he wants to be more than just your Savior. Let me say it again. If you claim that you've got faith in Jesus Christ, he wants to be more than just your Savior. He also wants to be your Lord. And Lord, as I said, means master, ruler, the one in full charge of every part of your life. Now, how many here work for somebody during the day? Several days a week, 5 days a week, okay? And that person is your boss, right? If you're working for that person 8 hours a day, maybe some 6 hours a day, that person for the 8 hours that day is your boss, right? If he tells you to come in at 8:30, right, you try to come in at 8:15. If he tells you to work until 5, you go the extra mile, you work until 5:15. So for 8 hours, as long as what the boss tells you to do is ethical, he is the one in charge of your life. He is your Lord with a small L for those 8 hours, right? But guess what? There's somebody that wants to be Lord with a capital L in your life. He wants to be the big boss of your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, Jesus wants to be, let me say it again, the big boss of your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When Jesus tells us to jump, we need to ask him, "Lord, how high?" He wants to be in full charge of every part of your life. You know, they say in the world that talk is cheap, right? Talk is cheap. Would you agree? We can say that Jesus is our Lord, but will we really do what he is telling us to do? Let me say it again. We can say that Jesus Christ is our Lord, but will we do what he is telling us to do? This is where the rubber meets the road, and actions speak louder than words. Would you agree? Actions speak louder than words. So we're going to talk about verses 48 through 49 of Luke chapter 6. Jesus says this. I'll repeat it. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. The one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Now, in this parable, what does the house represent? The house represents you and me. The house represents your life. Is that making sense? The house represents your life. And the issue in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49 is practicing what Christ tells us to do. The issue here is an issue of obedience. What is obedience? Doing what someone tells you to do. If your boss asks you to complete a task, an obedient employee will do it, right? If Jesus, the big boss, asks us to do something, we as obedient followers will do it. So the issue in Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49 is an issue of obeying the words of Jesus, putting into practice what Jesus is telling us to do. And that's why he says in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" You see, the one who hears what I say and does what I say is the one who is building his house, his life, upon the solid rock. But the one who hears what I tell him to do or tell her to do and does not do it is like the person who is building their life on sand. When the torrent comes, when the flood comes, if they're not doing what I've told them to do, their house, their life will collapse. We understand that this is what Jesus is trying to say in Luke chapter 6, right? So we're going to talk about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But right before that, in verse 49... I'm going to go back to it. Jesus says, "The one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the torrent came, his house was destroyed. His life was destroyed." And to me, this is reminiscent of Jonah in Jonah chapter 1. How many here know the account of Jonah? Anybody here know the account of Jonah? All right. That's it. He says, "Jonah and the whale." You got it. That's it. Jonah. God spoke to Jonah, right, and gave Jonah a mandate. God said to him in Jonah 1:1, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me." So God told Jonah, "Jonah, go and preach repentance to the nation of Nineveh." So he heard the word of God, right? But Jonah decided to do his own thing. He decided to disobey God. He went the opposite direction towards Tarshish. So instead of obeying God, Jonah did what? He disobeyed God. And you know what's interesting is that a storm arose as Jonah was on this boat. And the sailors were trying to figure out who was at fault. So they cast lots. And the lot fell on Jonah. So they talked to Jonah, and basically, if you read on in Jonah chapter 1, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, and Jonah just basically said in Jonah 1:12, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." So Jonah heard the word of the Lord, right? Preached to Nineveh. He goes the opposite direction towards Tarshish, so he disobeyed God, and the flood, the storm, came across Jonah's life. And Jonah was taken by the storm. He was thrown into the sea. But thank God, his life was not taken eternally, destroyed eternally, right? It's a good thing that we serve a God who's a God of mercy, the God of a second chance. Because as we read Jonah, in Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and forward, we see that God gave Jonah another chance to bring the gospel, the message of repentance to Nineveh. I want to tell you here tonight, I want to encourage you with this word that, you know, God may speak to you something. Jesus may be telling you to do something. And if you've messed up in the past, you haven't obeyed, we serve the God of another chance. Amen? Amen. He's the God who does not give up on us. But this does not minimize that we need to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Amen? So for the next few minutes in Luke chapter 6, we're going to talk about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. As Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. "Is your house, your life built on the Lordship of Jesus Christ? On obeying what God has told you to do in His Word?" Let me ask you that again tonight. Is your house, is your life built on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, on obeying what Jesus Christ, what God has told you to do according to His written word? Is your life built on the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And when Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, He was speaking to His 12 disciples. Guess who His disciples are today? It's you and me. Is your life built on obeying what Jesus has told you to do with your entire being? Now, the flood that Jesus talks about. So we talked about the house, right? The house is our what? Our life. When Jesus talks about the flood in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, what does the flood represent? Anybody else? He said, anybody else? What did you say?
Temptation.
This brother got it. It represents the flood of temptation present in this world that we are passing through. Friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are only pilgrims in this world. Would you agree? We are just passing through this world. And the flood that Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 6 is the flood of temptations that will come across our life. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that there is going to be a flood of temptation to do what the world says with your body or what Jesus Christ says to do with your body. What does the world say to do with your body? What's the world's mindset concerning your body?
Pleasure.
If it feels good, do it. If you like alcohol and it's in front of you, take your right hand, pick up that bottle and drink until you can't drink anymore. If you like those drugs, take your right hand, get yourself high and keep getting high. You know, if you see a beautiful person, a beautiful woman passing by, keep looking at her and lust after her. That's what the world says to do with your body, right? But if your life is founded on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when those floods of temptation come, you're not going to be shaken, you're not going to move, because you know what Jesus Christ has told you to do with your body. Amen. And your life is built upon that. So what does Jesus Christ tell us to do with our bodies? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. It's the same Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. Jesus says this, "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." So when the flood of temptation comes to do what is unholy with your body, if you're obeying the words of Jesus, you're not going to be shaken, right? Because if you see that alcoholic drink in front of you, right, and your life is founded on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, on obeying the words of Jesus, on practicing the words of Jesus, when that flood of temptation comes to drink, you're going to say, "No, I'm not going to do it. My life is solidly founded upon the words, upon doing the very words of Jesus Christ in the Holy Scripture." Is that making sense tonight? Friend, there's going to be a flood of temptation to do what the world says to do with your mind, or to do what Jesus says. You know, when somebody offends you, when somebody hurts you, when somebody damages your reputation, the first natural human instinct is to do what?
Fight.
It's to fight, it's to get revenge, to get even, to get bitter at your offender, right? So there's a flood of temptation that will come across your life to try to get revenge against your offender. But if your life, your house, is solidly founded upon the Lordship of Jesus Christ, is founded upon doing what Jesus tells you to do in the Scripture, when that flood of revenge tries to hit your life, you're not going to be shaken, right? Instead of trying to get even, you're going to forgive your offender. You're going to love your enemies, right? Because Jesus tells us to do exactly this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Isn't that awesome? Jesus tells us, love your enemies. So if our lives are solidly founded on these words of Jesus and putting into practice these words of Jesus, when the flood of temptation comes to get even, we're not going to get even. Amen? We are going to forgive our offender. Is that making sense tonight? Having our house, our life, solidly founded on obeying the words of Jesus from the Scripture. Okay, we're coming to a close here. There's going to be a flood of temptation to do what the world says to do with your spirit. All right, with your spirit. What does the world say to do with your spirit man? The world says resist Christ and live for yourself. Resist Christ and just live for yourself. If it feels good, just do it. Right? That's what the world says to do. But if your life, your house is solidly founded on obeying the words of Christ and Scripture, when the flood of temptation comes to do with your life what you want to do, you won't be shaken. Amen? You're going to stand firm because you're obeying the words of Christ direct from the Bible. What did Jesus say? He says this in Matthew chapter 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What does Jesus say to do with our spirits? If we're solidly founded on doing what Christ says to do with our spirits, then what does Christ say to do with our spirits? He says to submit it, submit our spirits to His Lordship. And submitting our spirits to His Lordship is entering the narrow gates, is living the holy life. He said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way. But narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find the narrow road. I want to find the narrow road. How about you? Submitting my life, my spirit, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if anybody is in Jesus Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Now, let's go back to that last scripture in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 49. Luke 6, 49. He says, the person who does not put into practice my words is like a man who builds a house without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. If you don't, most importantly, submit your spirit to the Lordship of Jesus and say, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, be in control of my life, guess what? The destruction of your life will be complete. You could be eternally lost. I don't want to be there. How about you? So we've got to submit our spirits and every part of our being to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to practicing what He tells us to do in His written word. And that's our house, our life built on a solid foundation. Amen? One little story here on obedience. From the speaker's quote book, a little girl asked her friend if she could go on a picnic with her. Just wait a minute, I'll go and ask my mother. When she came back, the friend told the girl that her mother said she couldn't go. The girl then said, oh, you probably didn't talk hard enough. Don't let your mother go at that. Go beg her some, and then she'll probably let you go. Oh, no, the friend answered. When my mother says no, she doesn't change her mind. She knows what is best for me, and so I'll do what she says. How much Christian should be like that, willing to take what God says, realizing that He knows what's best for us? Isn't that awesome? Doing what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that you may never have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Maybe your spirit, your life, your entire being is not submitted to Jesus. And if it's not, the destruction of your house, your life, eventually will be complete, according to Luke 6:49. Eternal loss. I don't want to be there. How about you?